For our scripture this morning, I'm going to read from Exodus. And I am going to be reading out of the RSV. Not the RSV. You asked me what I was going to read out of, Barbara, and it's the NIV, the New English Version. Not that either. What did I tell you I was going to read out of? The NIV. Yeah. See, I'm just seeing if you're all with me. I just want to make sure you're with me. I don't want to lose anybody this morning. So I'm going to read, assuming you know the story that precedes Exodus chapter 4. I'm assuming you know the story about God coming and finding Moses out in the land of Horeb. And he comes out there and he speaks to him through the burning bush. You know that story, yes? I knew you did. All right, and he speaks to him and he calls Moses by name. He calls him by name. He addresses him and he says, I have an assignment for you. And the assignment is, I want you, Moses, to go back to the land of Egypt where your cousins and nephews and aunts and uncles and all of them are held slavery, in slavery, from which you've run and escaped. I want you to go back there. I want you to deliver them. And that's the backdrop of this. And you know the story well enough to that Moses was not real enthralled with this idea. He was not pleased. And he had other plans. He had gone out to Horeb to retire. And he was doing rather well. He had some children. He had a wife. Had some children. His father-in-law was making him a partner in the business. And everything was going good. And then God says, but I'm not done with you yet. There's more to come. And he objected. Now, I'm familiar with that kind of behavior. And I've told you the story about objecting to go to Sierra Leone. That's a true story. I was content. But you know, there's an earlier part of that story. Soon after our retirement, you know, Aaron and I were doing very well. Had a really good time. We were hosting in campgrounds and assisting. Even had some Bible studies in campgrounds. We're doing good. And then that phone call came from this guy named Jim. And he says he lives in Pella, Iowa. And I've never been to Pella, Iowa. But he says, you know, would you come and help us? And I remember he said, come for 3 months. And I did not want to go, nor did Aaron. We were retired. And the retirement was pleasant. And we felt we were doing some godly work too. And then I put Jim off by saying, we'll pray about it. And that's where it ended, right there. So I'm familiar with Moses making excuses, and I'll bet some of you are also familiar with making excuses when God comes to you and says, I have an assignment for you, or here's an opportunity for you. It's easy sometimes to say, oh, but God, but. So we have that story as the backdrop, and God is now, as it were, trying to convince Moses that he is sending him there, and he's getting trying to get a willing response. And so as that develops, we come to chapter 4. And the first verse says, Moses answered God, what if they do not believe me or listen to me? That is, what are the leaders of Israel? What if they don't believe me? And they're going to say, we don't believe that this God appeared to you. Then the Lord, he said to him, what is that in your hand? It's a stick. A staff. Shepherd's stick. It's a stick. Then the Lord said, throw it on the ground. So Moses threw the stick on the ground and it became a snake. And he ran from it. And then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take that snake by the tail. So Moses reached out and took it, took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a stick or a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. And then the Lord said, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand into his cloak, And he took it out, and it was leprous. It was like snow. Now, put it back into your cloak, said the Lord. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. I'm not going to read the rest of that because I have a tendency to be long. But you know the rest of the story. Moses does go back to Egypt, and he talks to the elders and so on, and finally, ultimately, after quite a period of time, he leads the children of Israel out of Egypt. That's the story. Now, the key thing there that I would like for you to bear in mind is that word from God, what is in your hand? What is in your hand? I have something in my hand, and I'm going to pass some of these out in just a minute. An interesting thing. What's in your hand? What do you have to offer? What do you carry with you? What could you bring, as it were? What could you share? Moses didn't think he had much to share. What do you have to share? We were having lunch this week with Joyce, and I said, Joyce, I'm going to be handing out tools to the congregation on Sunday morning. Everybody's going to get a tool. And right then I remembered Al's funeral. And I remembered this spray. And on that spray are tools. And I said, wow. God is tying this message in so easily with things that everybody remembers. If just a few months ago, this was before you. All these tools. Now, I want somebody who will be willing to come up here and tell me and us what those tools are, because I don't know what they all are. Somebody knows. A few of you. Come on, four of you, jump up. Don't be bad. I can wait long, too. Then that makes a longer service. You know, Bev complains about it being long. Well, that'd be their fault. All right, John, Brother John, come up here. And
I'm going to come by myself.
Are you come up here to help us as well, Brian? Sure, come on, Brian, come up.
Huh? Dennis knows all of them.
Dennis? Yeah, that's right, he would know. All right, one on each side, and you point, Dennis will come up here on this side, and I'd like you to point out all these tools one by one. Take turns and just point to them. John, you start.
Square.
Louder. Louder.
Square. Frame and hammer.
Tape measure.
Cabinet clamp.
Saw blade.
The old drill. I didn't like using either.
A level.
Saw blade.
Mallet.
Saw for a miter box. Old style wood box.
Very good. Well done, brothers. Excellent. Excellent.
Tell them how it didn't go quite that well in dispatch.
No. Yeah. Well, I need some help. And this is what the part the farmers didn't know. And I gave them kind of a hard time on that. But I'm proud of you that you guys, and you all agree with these two men, they're right. They know their tools. Now, you use those tools in what kind of capacity? To build or to construct, as far as I know, primarily, if not exclusively, things out of wood. Is that right? Cabinetry, perhaps, or a house, right? A building. You know, you build with these things. You build. I'm wondering if I can have now some other people who will come up and help me. Not so bashful. I need, 12 people to come up and hand out these tools. I have tools for, I hope, everybody. I hope there's enough. Well, children can do it. It's good when you see children and adults together. Yes, and good, we've got women, young women involved. That's good. All right. All right. Just go around, hand them out. Hand them out, that's good. Make sure everybody gets one, best you can. Great, great. That's excellent. All right, pass those out, pass them around. If we run out, maybe some people can share. But these are actually little keychains, so you can take them with you wherever you go and have them available to you. And they're all tools. Now, I ordered, when I purchased these, I ordered 12 different kinds of tools. I didn't get 12. I got maybe 8. I don't know why, but that's just the way it works. And in a minute, I'm going to ask you to explain the kind of tool you have, because it's important to know what you're working with. Now, tools come in various sizes and shapes, various sorts, and tools are usually purpose. The purpose of a tool is to build or construct. Do we run out? Maybe some others have some, or families can share if necessary. And if we run out, you can blame the Dispatch Christian Reformed Church and the Lector Christian Reformed Church, because they had more people in attendance than I thought they had. And it was a good thing last week in Dispatch, because that's a very small rural congregation, and it was Gem Sunday. The whole place was packed. Moms and dads, it was wonderful for them to come to church with their girls and hear the gospel story of Jesus Christ. It was wonderful. So they took a few extras. But now that we have these tools, again, in order so that you can be a part and you can understand how important this is that we understand tools, you know, we all know that the Scripture says that God has given to each of us spiritual gifts. The Apostle Paul makes that clear, and he gives a list of those gifts. And those are spiritual gifts, but there are other gifts as well that can be used for spiritual ends and spiritual means. So now, I just need some help. Don't be bashful. Come on now, be Pella. Somebody stand up, hold your tool, and tell us what it is. Let's start right here, Bev.
I got a hammer.
A hammer, next.
Pipe wrench.
Pipe wrench.
Pliers.
Adjustable wrench.
Crescent wrench, okay. There's got to be a couple other ones.
Snips.
That's the one we had trouble with in Iowa. Show us that, will you, Josh? How many of you got snips? He calls them snips. You know, when I was in Kansas last week, craziest thing, you know, I asked who has these things, and I said, what are they? And nobody knew. And one guy calls them a nipper, and somebody else says it's for trimming cattle hooves. I mean, there are all kinds of stories that nobody was exactly sure. But in Pella, they know. And that's good, because you don't want to use the wrong tool on the right, whatever. So, tools. All of those tools are different. And if you're going to build a house, you better not all have a hammer. And if you're going to build a house in which people are going to live and children are going to be raised, you better have more than just a pipe wrench. Now, it would be good to have a pipe wrench. It'd be nice to have running water and pipes and so forth. That'd be good. And a pliers for some electrical work. You want electricity? You want a pliers to do that work. It takes many different kinds of tools to construct a house. In the Church of Jesus Christ, it takes many, many kinds of tools to do work for the King in the King's kingdom. A lot of different tools. And the interesting thing is, you can't build the house if the hammer works all alone. And you can't put in electricity unless there's some other things like a pliers or wire. Somebody has to carry the wire. See, it takes all of us. And so the question that God asked Moses, as God called Moses to do a ministry for him, he said, I can't do it, I can't do it. I don't have the tools. I don't have what's necessary. And God said, Moses, what is in your hand? And he said, a stick. And God said, I can use your stick. Let me show you. Throw it on the ground. And it became a snake. And if that wasn't enough, God said, take your hand and now it's empty. Take your empty hand. Give me an empty hand. Just put the empty hand inside your coat. And he did. And when he brought it out at God's command, it was leprous. And God said, now take that leprous, sick hand and put it back inside your cloak. Take it out. And it was clean. You see, God can take an empty hand if you give it to him. We sing songs like, use me, Lord, use even me, just as thou wilt, when and where. Use me. My empty hand. And that's why I give out these tools, and that's why I'm so glad that the spray is here. It's a visual reminder of the message that God is telling us. I want to use you. And whether you think you have much to use, to offer, is irrelevant. Give me what you have. And I'll be telling you during the after service part a variety of things that God has done using what people brought forth. And it happens at the strangest times and moments. When somebody says, I'm available. And God says, thank you. Come with me. Last Friday, a week ago Friday, I'm in Dispatch, Kansas. I'm sitting at the coffee shop. Excuse me. I'm at the coffee shop, and it's storytelling weekend where people come from various places all across the Midwest to tell stories. And I'm sitting there, and this man comes in. And the man I've never met before. And the man says, I got a story to tell you. What's that story? He said, well, you see that guy sitting over there? And I won't say his name because some of you might know him. I don't know. But anyway, we'll call him, what shall I call him? Al. So Al is sitting there, and this guy here, his name is Andy, who I just met. Andy says, let me tell you the craziest story. He says, I met this guy, Al, a week ago. Never saw him before in my life, but a week ago I met Al. Now Al, who lives in Kansas, was going to a church meeting in Denver, Colorado. Al was going to that church meeting as an elder at the Christian Reformed Classes meeting. But you need to know that Al was the third choice. I was worse than that, wasn't I? Al was the third choice.
The worst number was 13.
Yeah. So they needed to send somebody with the pastor to classes. And the elder whose turn it was said, I can't go. Okay. So we have a substitute. We have an alternate. Your turn. I can't go either. I'd rather not go because. So now neither of them can go. Well, Al is sitting there and they said to Al, well, Al, you're retired. Why don't you go? Well, I had some. Oh, okay, I'll go. So now Al just happened to be selected, third choice, to go to classes. He sits down to have coffee with a man he's never met before. And that man, we'll call him Andy. Now, Andy is at that classes meeting too. He's not an elder. He's a new resident in the community. And he didn't know what to do. He didn't know anybody. So he's been attending a church, and he said to that pastor, you got this meeting. Can I go? I don't know what else to do. Can I go and just attend as a visitor? And that pastor said, well, sure, come on along. Anybody can go. So now, this guy we called Andy sits down at a table besides, and they begin to talk. Andy says to Al, what do you do for a living? He said, I'm retired. I used to farm, ranch, you know, so forth. Everybody does in Kansas. He goes, I was one of those, and I just don't do much of that anymore. I'm retired. He said, but let me tell you something. Now, this is Al talking. He said, I become involved a few years ago in a ministry in Sierra Leone. He said, a friend of mine has been involved from the beginning in this ministry in a little place called John Obi in Sierra Leone, West Africa. And he begins to tell the story about John Obi. And this guy, Andy, is caught by this. And John is just, John, what's his name? Al. Al is just so excited, didn't notice that Andy had reached in his pocket and took out a checkbook. And he wrote him a check for $5,000. He said, for that ministry you love so much. Well, it just so happens that my friend Al invited Andy to come from Denver area to the storytelling and dispatch. And that's who I sat next to at the table in the coffee shop. And Andy says, so you're Al's friend. Yeah. You go to Sierra Leone? Yeah, I go to Sierra Leone. You know what he did? He wrote a check. I didn't ask him for a thing. He sat and wrote a check for $10,000. And he said, be a blessing. I mean, wow. My point is this, not all about money. It's not all, that's not my point. My point is that God gives you opportunity. My friend Al, he sees the opportunity to tell about the story. A wonderful thing. The next day, I was in the same coffee shop, and I was sitting with a group of men around the table. A brand new Christian came in who had been attending this Bible study group. He's a very new Christian. And he comes in. His name is Leroy. And Leroy is so excited about his newfound faith in Jesus Christ. He just bubbles over. He just bubbles over. And he's sitting there, and he's right next to me, and he's apologizing for coming in late. I said, well, don't worry, you're here. He says, yeah, but I got to tell you what happened. He said, yesterday, I was in Salina. It was 100 miles away or something. He said, I was in Salina at a, not horseshoe, but that other game you play. Cornhole. I was playing cornhole competition. I didn't know they did competition for cornhole. But he said, I was in a cornhole thing. And he said, and I got over about 11:30. I came home. I got home early this morning. And I no more got in my house, and I was getting ready for bed, and the phone rings. And it's a young man on the phone, he says, who wants to take his life. He got in his car and went to the young man's house and spent the next couple of hours with him, talking and praying. He prayed him into the morning hours. He seized the moment. An opportunity. He saw it. He grasped it. He went. This man, Leroy, runs a business. And while he ordinarily gets up and he goes to open up the business and, you know, he has some employees and so on. He said, I'm at the breakfast table, just getting ready to leave, and the phone rings and it's one of my employees. The employee says, I'm sorry, boss. I'm so sick. I don't think I can come to work. And I feel so bad, boss, because I have not missed a day of work in 7 years, and I've only been working for you for 6 months. But prior to that, I've gone almost 7 years prior, plus the 6 months. I'm so sorry. And Leroy says, the best thing you can do is take care of yourself. You don't have to worry. I will cover for you. He seized the opportunity to show the love of Jesus Christ to one of his employees who had never experienced that kind of compassion from a boss before. See, he seized the moment. That was the tool in his hand. It was a moment, an opportunity to do something in the name of Christ, for Christ, to bless somebody else, that in blessing them, they might perhaps see Jesus. Some of you have tools in your hand that are adjustable. Mine is, I got a pipe wrench. So I could, theoretically, I could work on a big pipe wrench or a little one. I could just adjust it to meet the need. Last year when Aaron and I went to to dispatch to share the message, we were at the story hour last year as well, but anyway, we camped in the campground. And next to us at the campground was a group of people who were having a really good time. You know what I mean? A really good time. And when people have a really good time, they're often quite noisy. So here they're having a really good time next to us. And I'm really happy. So I said, Aaron, I got to go over and meet these people. So I go over there and I meet these people. And they invite me to sit around the fire with them. And we begin to talk. Well, there's father and mother who are my age. There's two sons who are, I guess, the early 50s, somewhere in there. And their wives, or a wife and a girlfriend, and then some other couple there was there. And so we get to talking, and so they're saying, well, number one, what in the world does it mean on the back of your motorhome? It says casar. What does that say? Casa? Yeah. What's that next word? Abba. What does that mean? I'm glad you asked. Casa is Spanish for house or home, a place of dwelling. Abba is the word Jesus called his Father in heaven when he prayed, our Abba who art in heaven. Casa Abba means this motorhome, which is a house, belongs to my heavenly Father. He's loaned it to me and to Aaron. It's on loan. And we travel through life on a journey in a borrowed vehicle, a borrowed home. And you know, one day we're going to come to the end of that journey. And we're going to leave this borrowed home. And we're going to go to our heavenly casa, where our Abba dwells. Until then, we serve him. Wow. Now we've got an opportunity. We talk. We share. We share about the way to eternal life, the way to a heavenly kingdom, and the fact that you need to have a reservation. You can't just arrive and knock on the door and say, can I come in? Now you prepare, and now you make a reservation. Now is the time to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And there we talk around that fire. A couple of days later, I said to them, you know, you can come to church. I'm going to preach in this little place way out in the sticks. It's called Dispatch. I'm going to preach out there. Why don't you come? And that following Sunday, two brothers, they're twins, they came to that worship service and spent that hour or plus with the people of God in Dispatch. After that, I gave them Bibles. Contacted them throughout the year. And a week and a half ago, whatever it was, when we arrived in Dispatch in Glen Elder State Park, where we were going to stay, we're riding in our motorhome to find our spot. And there's a man running across the grass. He sees us coming. He jumps in the street and he stops us. Pastor Tom! It's Dan. Dave. It's Dave, one of the two brothers to whom I'd given a Bible. We're so glad to see you. I share that because it's not about me. It's about opportunity. Looking for opportunity. Opportunities are tools. Tools that God gives to us in a thousand different settings to touch a life, to change a life, so that somebody can hear the story through actions maybe of the God who loves them, who redeems them, who gives himself for them. You're a tool. And God places many things in your hand as tools to serve and minister. One of the things you've done is you've blessed Sierra Leone ministry. You've blessed us. What a thrill it was on Christmas Day last year to be at the Atlantic Ocean in Africa. There we were. And they invited me to play soccer with the soccer balls you had given them. They didn't have soccer balls. Honestly, they had no soccer ball until last Christmas. Then they had, I think, was it three or four? Now the big problem is, which one do we use? And we played soccer on the beach. I tried, gave up quickly, but they kept playing. It was a wonderful experience. You blessed them. And they know there are people here, thousands of miles away, who are thinking about them, who are loving them, who are supporting them, encouraging them. You used your tool. I remember going to church weeks later, and little girls would come up and show me the dress that they had gotten from those people in Iowa. It was wonderful. Opportunities. You used your opportunities, and every one of us has opportunity. Day in, day out, over and over and over again. It repeats itself. Pray to God that God will show you the opportunity. He will show you what's in your hand, that moment when you can speak, or you can hold somebody's hand, or you can deliver a cake, or you can give some shoes, or a word, or you can sing a song. It repeats itself over and over again. And it's marvelous to see what God does. And so we thank you for being a part of our, for being a tool. Being a tool. And just just be willing to adjust sometimes. Go where it's uncomfortable. Because there's another story that I want to conclude with, and that story is from the Gospel of Mark. I preached it here, I think, last year. Maybe the year before. But the story is the Gospel of Mark, in the fifth chapter. And you remember the story of the man who was filled with demons, and he was living on the side of the hillside, and the people were afraid of him. It was in the land of the Gerasenes, and they were afraid of him because he was a wild guy and he was dangerous. And Jesus went across the sea with his disciples, and he cast the demons out of him and then went into the pigs. You remember that story? And you remember what happened afterwards? Yeah. How many of you still have your... Who was it? Somebody told me this week they still have the pig. I don't know. Anyway, thank you. Okay, got it. The young man, you remember what happened after he was cleansed and so forth, and Jesus and his disciples are ready to go back to the other side of the sea, and they're getting in the boat. What did the young man say? Louder. I want to come with you, Jesus. I want to come with you, Jesus. And what did Jesus say? You cannot. I will go with you, but you cannot come with me. And Jesus did what? He sent him home. He sent him back to his family, back to his community, with a story. And tell them what I have done for you. Go back with the story and tell what God has done. That was his tool. His tool was a story. You have a story. The story of salvation may be told in 1,000 different ways. But you have a story. It's a wonderful tool. And you can shape somebody's life with it. And what a thrill. What a thrill when they tell you, you changed my life. You were part of the deliverance that God provided for me. So Cornerstone Church, thank you for sharing your tools with us. Beyond that, thank you for sharing your tools in your community, where you work and where you play. Thank you for sharing your story, your talent, your gift, your time, your energy, your skills. Thank you. Thank you. Father God, we thank you for the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. We thank you, we praise you, we exalt you, that you are the giver of life. You've given us life and breath to be on the earth. You've given us hope beyond this life. And you've given us security in Jesus Christ. A purpose to live for you, to walk with you day by day. We're humbled. We're humbled. And I would pray, dear God, that if there's anybody here who has not yet made that decision to walk with Christ in life, to receive Jesus Christ as Savior in faith today, then let this be the day. Let it be now. Move in their heart. Challenge them. Call them. And as we go, Father, from this place, beginning of a new week, may we go, O God, with tools in mind, tools in hand, seeing ourselves as a tool in the hand of Almighty God to serve you, to bless people. These things we pray, Lord, because Jesus loves us and gave himself for us. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.